Shidduchim. So we know Avraham Avinu sent out the first Shliach for Kiddushin, Eliezer, in this week's Parsha, Parshas Chayisara. And when Eliezer was getting all the instructions of where he should search and where he should go and what he has to commit to, so Eliezer poses the question to Avraham Avinu in Perek of Dalet Pasuk Hey, Hayomer Elohu Eved, Ulai Loisai Aveh Ha'ishol Aleches Acharei, Ela Aret Hazoisa Hashem Hashiv Es Bincha Ela Aret Hashem Yatzasim Isham. Eliezer asks, what happens if she doesn't agree to come back with me? What happens if the plan fails? Maybe that's going to happen. Hayadua Rabbi Yisrael Chazal tell us, there's a lot of repetition in this week's parsha. Chazal learn out, Yafa Sichasan Me'avde Avos. The amount that's learned out from just the Sicha, just the conversation of Eliezer, that there's columns in the Torah, there's so much ink that's spilled on Eliezer's seemingly superfluous repetition of everything that happened, and more than even Dinei HaTorah, more than halachas that are sometimes learned out from an extra letter, and sometimes actually learned out from just a phrase, and Chazal and the Torah always trying to limit any extra word in the Torah. When Eliezer is repeating in his Sicha, later on in the parasha, to Besulel and Lavan, about everything that he was involved with and the process and his approach towards their house and his meeting of the Nara, Rivka, Eliezer says, in Pasuk Lamites, Perikov Dalet, Pasuk Lamites, Va'omar el Adoni, and I said to my master, Ulai lo selecho isha achara. What happens? Perhaps the woman will not follow me and we'll be in a dilemma because it's not going to be as smooth as we planned. Kayadua Rabbi Isai, Rashi points out that there's a difference between the presentation when Avraham Avinu was speaking to Eliezer, and Eliezer responds, Ulai, she will not listen to me, and Ulai, she will not listen to me when she's around, when he's speaking to Lavan and Besuah. Comes along Rashi, and Rashi says over here in Pasuk Lamites, when he's speaking to Lavan and Besuah, the Pasuk says, Ulai, without a vav. Dok Rashi, a likes it. Bas hoysalo le Eliezer, v'yemachazer limtzai ilo, sheyamar loy Avram lifnoi se lov la'asiyo bitoi, amar lo Avram bni baruch va'ata aror, ve'ein ar mistabit medavit bevar. Rashi quotes the Medrash that says that Eliezer revealed that honestly, I gotta be totally truthful, that I was saying, and I was wishing, and I was hoping for my own interests. I have a daughter. She's eligible age. She would have been a great shidduch for Yitzchak. I would have loved my mechutin. It would have been great. And honestly, I really hope that this wouldn't have happened. So Rabbi Isai, Avraham Avinu responded to Eliezer, this is an impossibility. This is not acceptable. I will not even entertain such a presentation, such a possibility. Why? Because ata aror ve'ein arim istabik b'baruch. Whoa. The ish bal haches, the zeda that we all wish that we could sit on his lap, the Avraham Avinu bal hachesed, the guy who brings everyone into his house, who is the most gracious individual that we could imagine. This is the way he speaks to who? Eliezer, his Talmud Mubuk Doile Umashkem from his Rav. He mamish is the future of Torah, the such is a good assistant
This is the way you respond when a person, you know, you're not interested. Okay, there's a way. Your advice is you all get offers that, you know, you have to figure out a way, you know, like, not right now, whatever, I'm busy, you know. You guys all know the lingo, you know. Problem is we're also learning what how to respond to your lingo, you know what I'm saying? So everyone knows how to get into, you know, it's awkward or a little bit, but like, you know, I'm sure Avraham Avinu had a little bit of finesse. You know, a little bit. He was a, you know, he dealt with the Hamon Am. He was able to convince, you know, thousands and thousands of people to join the Jewish religion. He obviously had a little bit of a marketing degree. You know, he knew how to publicize. He knew how to, you know, swing people. But to speak to his own, like, it's kind of like this whole thing is a farce. This whole thing is a fake. What the hell is going on? That's question number one. Question number two, Rabbi Yisai. The Yadua question, the Chidah asks, many of the Farshim ask, is that if this is the case, and if that's what Eliezer really meant, so why is it that the first time that it's presented in the Torah, it's with Bav? It should be accurate that over there, and actually where the conversation actually happened, that is where what? The drasha of Chazal, of Eli, Ulai without a Vav of Eli, should actually be presented. So there's a mahalach, a beautiful mahalach for another year, Mitzvah, for another time, of the Kotzke Rebbe on that second question. But I'd like to perhaps present an analysis based on an idea in the Vilna Gaon that I think really speaks to us in our lives, in our situation, in our predicament, and is really a site for life. Comes along the Vilna Gaon, and he says something fascinating. The Lagon says, the Torah has two ways of presenting a suffering, a doubt, a question. And that's with the word ken. And the other way is with the word ula. So comes along the Vilna Gaon, and he's bothered by an additional question. Where did Chazal know that Ulai meant Eli? How did Chazal get this? There's nowhere that anything is said about a daughter of Eliezer in the Torah that Chazal should even entertain that this is really what was in the background and the idea of Eliezer in the forefront of his mind in terms of this mission. Why can't we just figure out that Eliezer was just trying to do his job? How did Chazal know that Ulai meant Eli? So comes along the Gra and he says something fascinating. There are two ways to present a suffix, to present doubt. Pen, vasheni b'loshan ulai. What's the difference between the language of pen and the language of ulai? Beineim kachu. Look, listen to this Gaon Rabbi, it's a fundamental Gra. If a person is approaching something that he's doubtful about, that he's questioning, that he's unsure about, that there's lack of clarity, but ultimately in the deep down inside he doesn't want this to exist or to occur, then the Torah will present it in a negative suffix of pen. Because Baruch Hu doesn't want your lathe to turn. Maybe you're going to start to be a Rebbe-Nazir. Perhaps, chas v'shalom, there should be such a thing. The suffix in the negative sense. Pen also is presented in the Torah to teach us a lav, the Gemara tells us in Eru. V'ma'aymer, yachboitz, sheyiskayim adavar. But if what? A person has a suffix, he has doubt, he has questions, but ultimately what? He really wants it. He really would hope for it. It's approaching the suffix with a motivation, with an interest, with a drive. Then what? Then the Torah is going to say, no, not pen. Then the Torah is going to what? Have a positive way of relating to that suffix. And is going to say the lashon of ula. Last week's parasha, Yesh Chamishin Tzadikim. Perhaps there are 50 Tzadikim inside the city of Stoim. Avraham Avinu wants perhaps such a suffix. Perhaps we can find that. Perhaps that could be a reality.
There's
a kasha that the footnotes on the Goyin ask. Someone of the Mepharshim on this Goyin ask, how are you going to deal with Yaakov's response to Rivka, Ulayi Musheni Avi? That when he was trying to trick his father, that there he also used the Lashon of Ulai. And many of the Mepharshim ask, the bottom line is what? Yaakov Avinu was an Ish Emes. And Yaakov Avinu wanted the word Ulai to be used there. Because ultimately Yaakov Avinu wanted to be caught in the act. Because it was against his nature. And Ulai Musheni Avi, he was saying to his Rivka, he was saying, not saying, it's a possibility, I'm scared. He was saying, perhaps, and I'm actually interested in that. Because that fits with who I am and with who my character is. Zokta Vilna Gol, Nakal Chazal knew about Eliezer that there was an Eli over here. Me'ata kasher Eliezer omar b'loshon ulai lo seylech. B'loi mar b'loshon pen. Eliezer didn't say pen. Eliezer didn't say, oh, I have to be concerned that this might fail and we have to deal with a plan B if I can't get a shidduch for Rivka, for Yitzchak. But rather he used the loshon of ulai. Muchach mized Eliezer rotza sha'atna yiskayim. He actually wanted this. This was his volition. This was his will. This was his drive. This was motivation. This was it. He was motivated about. Achadayin kasha, says the Gemara. But why? Why would Eliezer not want this mission? Want this mission to fail? Why would he want that? Oh, and that Chazal answered, why did the Torah use Ulai? Why did Eliezer use Ulai? There must have been a what? An Eli. There must have been something that Eliezer was considering. There must have been some other plan and some other drive that Eliezer was working for. Lama yoritza marachal, zedarshu Eli ksiv, basai saloli Eliezer. You see a fascinating idea, Rabbi Yisrael. When a person has a suffix in front of him, when a person has a question, which we're all going to have, this is the sugyas of this week, this is the matzav of the world, but a person could approach it in two ways. What are the chances? He closes his mind. It's not a possibility. Chances are not. Or what? A person could look at it from a positive perspective. A person could say, no. Eliezer had a drive. Eliezer had a drive, and that's why he was working with the suffix, and it was a positive element, because I do think that it's possible. But Rabbi Isai, it's not only a yisoid of how to work and how to approach the matzavim of suffix that we have in our lives, that we should look in a positive perspective, in an ulai and not out of pen, when it's for the positive. But the question is, Rabbi Isai, so what's with Avraham Avinu? What's with Avraham Avinu, and why is it only said at the latter spot, at the latter place? The questions that I presented before I addressed the Vilna Gaon's chat. I'd like to share with you, Rabbi Isai, a Gemara in Sukkah. The Gemara in Sukkah is a fascinating Gemara. The Gemara in Sukkah tells us a fascinating Gemara, Rabbi Isai, which has very, very, very much ramifications in terms of postulating certain sukkahs and potentially even a gzeir derabbanan, invalidating a sukkah that would have been kosher on a level of deraisa, but Chazal uprooting the mitzvah in totality. A big place was in the beginning of the sukkah about a person who's half in the sukkah and half out of the sukkah. He's sitting rosh of ruba v'shulchano, right? B'soy chabayis. So the Gemara says, Misha haya rosh v'ruv v'sukkah v'shulchanah v'sukkah v'ayis, v'shamay poislim v'esil makshir. And the Rishonim say, this is one of the examples that we accept the Shita of v'shamah. Amar lehem v'esil v'shamah loy kacha yamaisa. V'esil asked v'shamah, really? Wasn't there a story? Shahochu zikne v'shamah v'zikne v'esil l'vakaris Rabbi Yochanan ben Achurnis, that they went to go visit Rabbi Yochanan ben Achurnis, who was sick. Do pikar chayla. Umatsu shahaya yoyshev roishev ruba v'suka v'shulchano v'soch habayis v'lo omer lo davran. They didn't say anything. The Gemara says, they still say they didn't say anything. So you see that it's kosher if you sit with your shulchan inside the house, even if you're your shulchan's in the house, as long as your body primarily is inside the sukkah. Amrlan Beishame, Beishame responded to Beis Hillel, what? You got the story wrong. Yisham Raya, Afheim Amrulo in Kena Yisa Noyeg, like Yamta Mitzah Sukkah Miyamech. If that's what you're doing, if that's the way you're sitting in a sukkah, the Rabbanon that came to what? To be Mavakar Choyle, they said, Im Kena like Yamta Sukkah Miyamech. Rabbi Yisai, I want you to picture this story for a second. How awkward is this? You got a guy who's mamish sitting sick. He's partially in the sukkah. Like, this would be the rabbi would lose his job in a second. Like, are you joking me? You're telling the guy who's probably potter for sukkah that in Cain or Yisanoig, if that's the way you're sitting, you've never sat in a sukkah in your life? Like, where's your sensitivity? Where's your class? This now's not the time. That's not the way to be so harsh when you're coming to be involved in the mitzvah of Bikur Chaylim. Rabbi said, this is a Mishnah. This is a Tchiyan Araya. This is the Rabbanon. This is the Messiah. This is the way we talk. This is like the antithesis of every shmooz that we give. And the rabbis themselves are being so harsh, are being so difficult. A very similar kasha to what I asked on who? On the Rav, the God of Ador of Avraham Avinu. That's the way he talks to Eliezer. That's the way he informs him that he's not oiler for a shidduch. Ata orer, va'ani baruch. Ve'ein orer mistabi b'baruch. Yavne Nezer was a son-in-law of who? Anyone know? The Kotzker Rebbe. But when the Yavne Nezer was younger, the Kotzker Rebbe heard about him. Because the Abinazer, as a young boy, got very sick. And his father came to the Kotzker Rebbe to get a bracha and to tell him about the koichus and, you know, how much we need this boy for the future of Klal Yisrael, his talent, and all he's accomplished, and what he's about. And he started singing all the celebrating all of the accomplishments of the Avnei Nezer at such a young age. And Nebuch, Rachmanel, you know, it's a Rachmanes, he's so sick. And the Kotzker Rebbe responded, huh, you think he accomplished? That's impressive. Please. And the father of the Avnei Nezer was very sure. Came to get a bracha. He came to, you know, explain why this is such a resource and such a necessity for Klal Yisrael, for us to have around him, wherefore we should daven for him. And look at the way the Kotzker Rebbe responded. So the Avnei Nezer said, he misunderstood the Kotzker Rebbe. And ultimately the Avnei Nezer was nisrapid, and he got off, and he continued, and he was even more successful. Sometimes you need a Rebbe. You need someone with brilliance and with a balance to be able to say the right message and to create the right perspective. But there's a lot more to do. That you can't create a complacency. And this exists, Rabbi Yisai, in terms of the world of health as well. I remember when I used to round sometimes with my father, the Colonel of Rocha, the Yortzeit's next week, and he used to show me that those patients that used to talk back to him and that used to say, doctor, you don't tell me what to do, I can do it. He used to tell me afterwards, I couldn't believe it, like they were talking to the doctor, he said, that patient, that they're going to do well. They're going to succeed. They're going to be out of here in a week. And I said, what do you mean? They're not even listening to your instructions. Yeah, but they have a drive. But they have a will. But they want to get there. Sometimes if you think the plan is done, you think you're all accomplished, you think everything is finished, so then what? The refuah is not able to come. Then there's no will, then there's no drive, then there's no impetus, then there's no motivation. The Kotzker Rebbe said the Avnei Nezer was saying about him,
about the Avni Nezer himself. A bracha. That he what? He is not fully accomplished. He has so much more to do. There's a life of accomplishments that are set ahead for him. And therefore, I don't want to just say, yeah, baruch. I want to say that, yeah, you think all of this is accomplished. They don't compare in anything to what he's going to accomplish in the future, Mirtz Hashem. And he should have a drive. And he should have a rotzen. He should have a will. And that's what the Kotzker Rebbe was saying to the Avni Nezer. I heard from the Talmud Rebbe, that's shot in the Gemara and Sukkah. The Gemara and Sukkah, they weren't being cruel to him. They weren't being harsh to him. They were saying, you have the mitzvah Sukkah to improve upon. You have a life that we need a refuah for. You have to drive. And ultimately, Rabbi said, you have that perspective. Trust good. So sign good. Sign good, what the Rebbe said. If you're going to think well, that's what's going to improve your refuah. That's what's going to bring the Yeshua. That's what's going to pave the path towards the future. Wherever Rabbi Sayyim came, I thought that's exactly the episode in this week's parsha. Chazal tell us that what happened when Eliezer reached Lavan and Bethuel, Lavan's first response was what? Baruch Hashem! When he welcomed him into the house. And Chazal darshin in the Medrash that at that point when Eliezer reached there, he was nisapik from an order to be a baruch. Zasemis writes about it in this week's parasha, that Eliezer changed his status from being an order to a baruch. How did that happen? What caused that transformation? It was that shmooze that Avraham Avinu gave him. You can't just be complacent. You can't just rely on the fact that what? That you have a shidduch right over here, that now this is going to go and therefore you don't have to work on anything. No! Ata Arur! There's a lot of work to do. There's a path to build. There's a mission to go on. And Eliezer took that as a bunch of shmooze. He didn't take it and face it as rejection and then fall into despair and give up on all of his avodah, and he was successful. Exactly like the Kotzker Rebbe said to the Avni Nezer, and it said to the Avni Nezer's father about the Avni Nezer, and exactly like Chazal are telling Rabbi Yochanan in the Gemara in Sukkah. Eliezer, you are now, right now, not finished your path. And Eliezer didn't give up. Eliezer went on that mission. And after he accomplished the mission, it was, he realized, oh, what happened? I did not give up. I did not. Ultimately, they didn't get married. It wasn't a shidduch. That wasn't what's meant to be. But what happened, Rabbi Yisrael? What was the positive element that came from this whole episode? Eliezer was no longer an orator. Eliezer now was a miyuchus. Eliezer would have a new dargo of what someone that Avraham Avinu can now look at and say, Baruch Atah. Wow. Why is that? Because I had a drive. Because I took the shmooze of my Rebbe. Because I took the shmooze of the Rabbonim. And I decided, yeah, I need to work. I need to put it out. I need to start paving a path. And now Eliezer, later on, once he accomplishes his goal and he creates and he conducts Siyata Bishmaya to now create this and accomplish this mission, Eliezer realizes what drove me this whole time. I had a suffix, and I realized that what? Even though Avraham Avinu told me at that point in time I'm not going to be ready, but I'm going to use that as what? The impetus to build a possibility for me to be ready. So where is the appropriate time for Chazal to introduce that it's a lie, that ultimately he was a contender, that ultimately he is relevant? It's after the parsha is over and Eliezer was successful. And he realizes what? What was the reason that he succeeded? It's because he didn't give up after rejection. See, Rabbi Yisai, so many of us, myself included, we think that if a plan fails, that if we don't get a job, that if a shidduch doesn't work out, so automatically that means there's a problem. Automatically that means I'm a nebuch. Automatically that means there's no hope for me. Automatically that means, obviously, we should just stop even trying. And Eliezer, Rabbi Yisrael Chazal, and Avni Nezer are telling us, Pum Fakert. Eliezer became a lie. And it became a possibility because why? Because he didn't approach rejection in that way. Because he didn't approach the shmooze of Avraham Avinu in that way. And we should realize, Rabbi Isai, that sometimes the harshest words and sometimes the harshest episodes and sometimes the most difficult situations that we faced, whether it's in terms of our finances, whether it's in terms of our relationships, whether it's in terms of our upbringing, our kids, Rabbi Isai, will breed success and will bring in Mirza Hashem the greatest fruits of our development. You can find this out, Rabbi Isai, from the biggest billionaires in the world. Warren Buffett said the same thing. It was the plans that failed. It was the companies that went south, that deteriorated. That was what ultimately made me one step closer to that big, big millionaire company that I built. That is what said in our parsha. And that's exactly why Chazal waits till the end of the parsha, when Eliezer actually realizes what was driving. How did I keep this positive perspective of Ulai? Was because what? I wanted to create a what? A reality of a lie. Something that was relevant to me. Rabbi Isai, so many of us would have never gotten to the stage of a lie. Would have never gotten to the stage of being the Sapik Bebaruch and being the Sapik into Baruch from Ara. So many of us would say, oh, that Rebbe, he's just disgusting. We should sue him. Or how dare him talk like that. Or he's too tough. Sometimes, no. Sometimes, a little bit. Sometimes, someone's trying to actually look for your best interest. Sometimes a parent that sometimes doesn't say exactly what you want, they might have a little bit more experience and they might be trying to inspire some motivation and some growth. This is something that's very, very relevant for our door. Our door that always likes things, everything cozy, everything cuddly, everything smooth, everything instant, and doesn't want to deal with any failures, any missions that went south, or any difficult responses. So, Rabbi Isai, just because it's happening doesn't mean that there isn't a future. And we should remember that Eliezer, and remember the shmooze from all of these Rabbanim, and all of Chazal, and remember that these were some of the most sensitive individuals. Avram Avinu, the Kotzker Rebbe, and the Rabbonim that went to visit Rabbi Yochanan. They were not insensitive, but rather they cared about the future of these Talmidei Chachamim and these Eliezers, and Amir Tzashem would get to the stage that a lie would actually be something that would be attainable. The Shukar.